You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 7.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy! Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining me once again. This is Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindfully Marketing. This week, we have joining us Bonnie Lonsbury. Bonnie is the CEO of Inner Art, Inc., an expert in conscious creation, and the author of the award-winning book, The Map, to a responsive universe where dreams really do come true. By applying the law of attraction to her own life, Bonnie transformed poverty, loneliness, and despair into abundance, love, and joy. Faced with bankruptcy and foreclosure in the late 90s, Bonnie invested $50 and started a marketing company, which she grew to a $5 million annual sales company in just 5 years. Bonnie has spent decades mastering conscious creation, and now she shares her system of empowerment on her blog and in her book, The Map. Welcome, Bonnie. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous, Kimberly. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. So I've been reading your book and looking over your Live a Life You Love, which is fantastic. And so what's your personal story? How did you go down that journey to create this wonderful program and book?
Well, that goes back quite a few years. It was 30 some odd years ago that I first came across my metaphysical book, first one ever. It was an Edgar Cayce book, and at the time, I honestly thought Edgar Cayce was the only one that wrote about this stuff ever. And so I read everything that he ever channeled, which, if you've read any of his stuff, it's laborious,
right,
to say the least. But I always went back to it. It opened a door that in my heart and mind, I absolutely knew was absolutely true, that we do create it all. And I very painstakingly went about my journey to create the life I loved to live. And for a long time, I didn't. I created a lot of hardship and struggle and strife and betrayal and the whole soap opera, as is most people's lives. But at one point, I just put it all down and said, you know what? I'm done. I'm done feeling fear. And I don't care if this works or doesn't work. I don't care if I'm living on the street. What's most important is I want to feel happy.
So important.
It just did this emotional reset. And from then on, I was able to apply the principles that morphed into my book, The Map. And my God, it worked. And that's my joy to bring it to other people, because it really does work. But we just have to know how to work it. And it's easy, but it's not simple. It's a bit complicated. And so, you know, my gift, I think, this lifetime is to simplify it in a way anybody can apply it.
And that's so key, because we hear about the intentions and just think this way, and it gets a little confusing. And I love how you lay it out in the book. It's done beautifully. Love it. So we turn then. Let's talk a little bit. I know your background is marketing. For some of my listeners that may or may not know that, you have a very strong background. And
one thing I find consistently in the mind, body, spirit, arena is people feel like marketing is so icky, and I have to laugh every time I hear it. And I hear that word all the time as we have these conversations. So I'd like to get your input on that and a little take on how you've done it. Cause you've obviously taken your, what was your profession as a marketing person. And then now you're doing your passion and your love, and you've combined the two, and it feels great. So let's touch upon that a little bit.
Well, that's quite a subject. Let's go back to when I was considering being a bag lady. My house was in foreclosure that year. I declared bankruptcy 2 years later. My dad had just died. My mother had died years prior. I was just divorced from my husband. I had two young adolescent boys, and they moved in with their dad. And then a week later, I found out he was moving them across country.
Wow.
It wasn't a good year for me, but I started to apply the principles in the map after I made that core choice to be happy. And little by little, it began working. I got a job as a temp. It paid $10 an hour. I worked 2 days a week, and I refused to focus on what it didn't make, which was my rent payment. I forced myself to focus on what it did create. And that first check that I got, I held in my hands, and I made myself feel grateful for that $164 that was in my hand that wasn't in my hand the day before. And that's, I think, part of the key. You know, Kimberly, I hate to sell. Right. I hate it with a capital H.
Right.
But from that temp job, I got a job as a full-time marketing person for a mortgage company. On my terms, though. And I think that's the important thing that a lot of people forget, is that it can be on your terms. Marketing is only about explaining to people the wonder of what's possible with this product or gift or ability that you have to share. It's not going to be right for everyone, and thank God, because everyone knocking down your door would be a problem, a big one. And you don't have to create it on anything but your terms. You know, I got this temp job, and then I got this marketing job, and then it morphed into an opportunity to do a startup with the owner of this $10 billion company. And it was a marketing company, and so I did that for 6 months. Had a blast doing it, but it closed. And I found myself, again, jobless. I wasn't homeless at the time. And I knew better. I knew that it didn't have to go to that depth anymore. And so I took $50, and my former boss took $50. And she said, how about it? We start a company, and you do this out of your house, and I will be the silent partner. And so I said, well, okay, what do I have to lose? But it's not going to pay the bills. And she said, well, I have a couple of ideas. Hey, why don't you work here one day a week, and I'll talk to this person about writing a newsletter for him once a month, and that should cover your bills. And I said, okay, sounds great. And so we did that. And 6 months later, I bought her out. And 5 years later, it was a $5 million annual year in sales company. And I never invested a dime more than $50.
Congratulations on that. That's an amazing story.
But I did it very consciously. I did it very, very consciously, every morning getting up and deciding how I wanted to feel that day. And the reason I'm going into detail about this is that I also was sure about what I didn't want. I didn't want to do cold calling. I didn't want to do sales. Hated that. I figured this is going to succeed. It's going to succeed in a way that honors my temperament. And it did. And it was great fun. And I had a blast doing it. But I never once picked up the phone to make a cold call. I never once tried to convince anybody to do anything. And it even got to a point where I had, you know, 50 employees under me, and I decided I didn't like interviewing. So I decided that, you know, I would let my managers do whatever they needed to do. And whenever I needed to hire a manager, they would just walk in the door. And wow. From that moment on, that's what happened. And so marketing can be a blast. It can be a creative blast, and it can be a financial blast if you let it be, if you believe it can be.
That is the key. So how do you, so then taking all of that knowledge, how did you distinguish yourself from other players in the same field?
Well, then, I guess in the marketing company, I do it the same way I do it now. In the marketing company, I didn't bother distinguishing myself. I just set out to bring as much value as I can possibly bring. In the new age writing field, I feel I have to distinguish myself a little bit more because there's so many books about the law of attraction. And so many of them do a great job in getting people excited, but don't really give a step-by-step plan on how to go about it. And so that's how I do it now. And I think that for people who are brand new to conscious creation, to the law of attraction, they don't need it. They just kind of go, oh, this is interesting. Let me try this. And it starts to work. But people who've been around the block a little bit with, mind, body, spirit, new age stuff, sometimes they've been a little bit burned, and there's so many people out there doing it that I try to really tell them how, in this world of our world, what I do is different.
Right. And I think you've been very successful with that. It reads really well that way, which is fantastic.
Thank you.
So what is for the current stuff that you're doing, what's the best marketing strategy that's worked for you that you're like, aha, I'm onto something?
You know what? It's changed. For a while, Facebook was wonderfully successful. My Live a Life You Love Facebook page has 146,000 fans.
Saw that.
But it's not working now. Mm. It's not bringing in people now. I think what's most successful is still to go back to that old adage, give value. Do it because you love it, want to help people, and then offer product to help it be even easier. And, I don't think there's any magic thing out there. The magic thing is in us. And if we align ourselves with doing what we love, with having fun every day, with, following our passion, and with being okay with making money, then it has to unfold if we're patient enough to watch it unfold.
Right. How do you determine who your ideal client is?
It used to be my ideal client was anybody who had read The Secret.
Okay.
Because I figured they know that, there's at least this concept out there that at one point felt true, that we create our own reality. But anymore, a lot of people, and I think this goes for everyone in our field, in our industry, of people who are, have, it's kind of this wonderful new age thing to offer, is that a lot of people are ready for this information who aren't in our traditional demographic. The world is changing so rapidly. And so now my ideal client is anybody who's ready to grow. And sometimes that comes in a, in a new age field, but oftentimes it doesn't. It's just people who are ready, because more people are ready now than ever before. And they need help and they need direction.
And I think that's a great point to hone in for all the listeners. So if you're ready, because I've seen several articles, and I know I'm actually writing a book about it, about the tipping point that we're seeing right now in mindfulness in general. So it doesn't have to be new age-y or what have you. It's just that growth. Like you said, people ready to grow and become more mindful. And it's a huge opportunity right now for anyone that's out there that has an amazing talent to step it up and let the world know about it. Cause you're right. It's no longer just the people who read The Secret. It's now everybody. And I think that's a great place for us to be in.
It is. And it's also a challenging place. Because how do we get to everybody? Everybody who knows marketing says that's the wrong thing to do.
Right.
For everybody. So I guess the answer is just to be open to everybody and to kind of write for everybody, but, target, the place where the people who are already open hang out.
Do you think there's specific challenges for mind, body, spirit marketing? like versus quote unquote regular marketing that other people are doing?
I do. And I think that, interestingly enough, maybe even paradoxically, a lot of people into mind, body, spirituality, new age, have kind of a little chip on their shoulder sometimes. And sometimes they feel like, oh, been there, done that, know that. And sometimes I'd almost rather work with somebody who knows nothing about it because it's sometimes easier. I live in Boulder half the time, Colorado, and I live in Bahamas half the time. And, I have this wonderful body worker in Boulder, or not in Boulder, he's in Colorado. And he's in this kind of, podunky suburb of Denver that you don't associate with anything new age. And I said, hey, I would love for you to have an office in Boulder. It's an hour for me to get down here, but you're so spectacular. I can't find anybody in Boulder to even come close to what you do. And he says, Bonnie, I tried that. And there are so many people who think they know so much in Boulder, and they're always seeking for what's out there, and they're hopping from one person to the other, to the other, to the other. And I don't want that. I want people who just want to heal. And so I think that's kind of the paradox about who we are and what we do, is that, it's kind of pre-laden with a little bit of weight around it. But I feel that weight is dissipating because the doors are opening for so many people who don't have any preconceived notions of what's out there and what it's supposed to do. They just want to grow and heal. And so that's kind of the upside to that.
Does that make sense? It does. And I hadn't actually thought about it that way, but that's true. And I mean, we all have our preconceived notions about things, and I've catch myself doing it. Oh, I've read that before, but it's like, no, we need to be open and take it in. So I understand. So you mentioned that Facebook wasn't working for you quite as well as it had. Are you doing any other social media stuff? How are you managing that to make it grow a bit more?
Well, I have, I still am active in Facebook. I have four Facebook pages, four professional pages, and of course my personal page. And I'm still active, but I don't believe in putting all your eggs in anybody's basket that is not your own.
Yes.
Facebook could, for me, it was like I was getting thousands of dollars of business a month from Facebook, and then all of a sudden it stopped. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure exactly why that is, and I don't really care. I've set it up so that Facebook has continual posts going on for the next 6 years. And I sign in, and I'm personally active on my author page, and sometimes on the map page, and a little bit on my Little Life You Love page. But, anybody that owns a site that you don't own, you have to be prepared for it to have ups and downs and go sideways and whatever. All of my Facebook posts flow into Twitter, so whatever I post on Facebook goes to Twitter, but I haven't seen a lot in Twitter to really make me say I'm going to spend lots of time here. I do a little bit on Pinterest, and I've gotten some business back from that. But, social is, it's fickle.
It is, isn't it?
It is. And that doesn't mean ignore it. It just means realize it's a fickle lover. And so, you might flirt with them, but don't expect them to settle down and be a partner for life.
I love the analogy. But it's a really good point for people to remember, because people go like, I have all these followers on Facebook. And it's like one of two things. Are they real followers, or are they just people that like your page, but are they really part of your list? And the fact that that list isn't yours until you bring them over to your website, because Facebook could shut it down any day, and then you're like left standing there with nothing. So that's a good point.
Absolutely. And I do advertise on Facebook. I've experimented with a lot of different kinds, and the only kind I stick with now is advertising. I advertise once a month to get people who are on Facebook, who already like my page there, to come over to my email list.
Okay.
And that has worked out pretty well. I pay about $1 a piece and ends up, which I think is not bad since they're already kind of pre-vetted. And then I grow a list that is, you know, going to be mine forever.
Right.
So I think that's worth investing in as far as other social media. Invest a little bit, but, you know, I think other strategies pay off long term more than social does.
Right. It's about being cautious.
Yeah.
So are you doing live events as well?
I do one live event a year. Last year I did a webinar, which worked really well.
Yeah.
And I, it was an 8-session webinar and was an hour and a half each session. And I went over a lot of what I teach, and then I answered a lot of questions in depth, and I still sell that as an e-course today. And so I think that was a really good choice. This year I'll do a live in-person event. But because I live half and half in two countries and I travel a lot and we have a big family and I'm writing more books, live events, you know, I only have so much time. So I want to do some every year, but not a lot.
Right.
So I feel pretty good about that.
Perfect.
That and that's
the balance is key for sure.
Yeah, and everybody has to kind of decide for themselves what pumps them up and what they like to do. You know, and you can create that. You can choose according to your temperament what kind of lifestyle you want and how it can fit into your work. And it's pretty exciting when you realize that you really do have that power.
It is. It's just a wonderful feeling. So do you find that your customers prefer to engage with you in one medium versus another? Like, where do you find the most engagement with them?
Mostly it's email and my blog.
Okay.
We recently took off the requirement on my blog that people had to sign in before leaving comments. And so now we're getting like, you know, 30, 40, 50 comments a week. As opposed to two or three. So that's been a big shift and one I'm really excited about. My intent is to make my blog someplace people can go and find answers and find community and find, you know, an outlet and find techniques and find everything they need to live a life they love. And so that's really kind of following my intention. I still get a lot of messages on Facebook and a lot of, you know, comments on Facebook. And I check in every day to make sure that it's all great. I wish Amazon could have comments. I guess you can reply to comments, but I've heard so much about not replying on Amazon that I don't really spend much time there. But people have different ways that they feel comfortable, you know, communicating.
Right.
And I'm fine with that. I try to be available on all of them to a certain degree.
Right. Again, that balance.
Yeah.
So your book, The Map, which I can't talk enough about it, has been so fantastic. So talk to me a little bit about the publishing process you went through, because I know so many people in our field want to publish. And so did you use a traditional publisher? Did you self-publish? Because I hear all sorts of interesting stories about what works best for people. So what worked best for you?
Well, that's I decided I would self-publish first. It was a very concerted effort to make sure that I kept my rights until I established a platform and enough followers and sold enough books to have publishers come to me. And I've had four countries ask me about foreign rights, and I've had a couple of agents express interest. And I don't know that I want a publisher anymore because you can get books to market a lot faster if you publish yourself. You have complete control if you publish yourself. You, of course, make a lot more money if you're selling books if you publish yourself. And ultimately, you have to market one way or another, whether you go with a publisher or not. So I'm not sure if I'll stay with this, but it's so easy these days to self-publish.
Yes.
And I ended up doing a print on demand and an offset print book. So that means that I have books that can be printed on Amazon one off, and I've kept that because they print in France and England and places that it would be cost prohibitive to ship a book. And so I have an ISBN number that is a print on demand with Amazon, and I have books, you know, at a distributor and in my garage that we send out, you know, and they, just to give, you know, your listeners a comparison, it costs me about $3.50 to, you know, to print a book. It's a $15 book. So I make a lot more money if I send out my books. Amazon pays me $3 if they print the book.
Nice.
So it costs $11 to print through Amazon. But, you know, the bottom line is, it, for me, it's not as much about making money. I don't need to make money. I don't need to have this support me because I've created money coming in otherwise, which is a great thing to do. And because we're all creating it all, it's totally doable. But publishing, it's a pretty much, you get to choose what you want to do.
Yeah.
And if you're okay with self-publishing, I mean, there are some fantastic resources out there right now to help you along with that. If you feel it's overwhelming, then go the regular route. If you feel, you know, that you just want to test it with self-publishing, that's a great way for publishers these days to go ahead and find great books. So there's no shame in self-publishing anymore like there used to be.
Right. I know people would look and be like, oh, you self-publish. And now it's just the control that you can have. Like you said, it's all up to you, and the rights are yours, which is key.
It really is. And, you know, you can change your mind too, right, which is always good to do.
You threw out one word on there I just wanted to touch upon. You said platform. And I think it's so important for, especially an author, to have a platform, but anyone that's in this arena and has their coaching programs and stuff, how did you build your platform?
You know, I started this work in the 90s, before I was bankrupt, before I had my house foreclosed upon. Actually, in 1992, Kimberly, a psychic had told me, first psychic I'd ever been to, I had just quit law school and I was at a loss about what to do. And my stepmother took me to this psychic who was 90-some years old at the time. And she said, I know that you are really upset right now and you don't know what your path is going to be, but trust me, you're going to be very happy and you're going to be teaching thousands and thousands of people about how to basically live a life you love. I can't remember the words she used, though. And so I thought, well, this means now. So I went out and recorded a tape series. Of course, I wasn't ready. I really didn't know the first thing. I just heard this and thought, I'm going to go do it. And I did respectably well. I won an award for the tape series, and I ended up selling like 1,000 copies. But it wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to pay the bills, and I needed something to pay the bills then. And so I stopped that, and I started the marketing company, and I had a blast with the marketing company. I mean, I really, really enjoyed it. And then when it was time to do this again, I opened up the doors to do this again. And I don't remember your question. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's a beautiful story. I love it. I was asking about how you went about building your platform for this.
Yeah, so back then, I was lucky enough to get the domain name, livealifeyoulove.com. I mean, no, at first I got .net. And I thought, oh, God, this is great. And so back then it was really easy to get domain names that went, you know, when somebody abandoned them, you could just sign up for it. Now you have to pay thousands of dollars
right,
to have a domain that you want to be yours and isn't. And so I signed up for livealifeyoulove.com. And I got that too. And I just maintained a mailing list over the years. And I had the website up and people would come upon it. And at the time, Google pay-per-clicks to get people under the terms metaphysical and new age was a penny a click.
Wow.
So I just paid, you know, $3 a month or whatever for people to come. come and find me, and they would read what's on there, and they would sign up. And so I knew, you know, I would be doing this work in earnest at some point in time. And so that was back then, and now I do what I love, and I love responding to people who are really earnest about growing and changing. You know, I get enough emails that say, oh my God, everything's going wrong, tell me what to do. And I'm like, you know, dude, there's like hundreds of posts on my website. There's a book that right as of summer, I actually gave it away in January and gave it for free for 2 weeks. And next month, starting summer solstice, I'm really giving away the map again for 365 days. So if people sign up, and they can sign up afterwards, and they will start it, a little bit a day comes in their email until the whole book they'll have in their email.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And because I figure, hey, if you're willing to wait a year to finish the story, then, you know, then please have my help, all there is of it. I just think you should do what's fun. But don't be afraid to be out there. You know, I had a lot of fear of visibility, Kimberly, as I think a lot of light workers do. I think enough of us were burned at the stake in lifetimes past to make us all a little reticent about being out there and being visible. But, and I don't say that to many broadcasts or shows, but I think it's true. I think we all have this part in us that really would rather stay under the radar. But I've changed a lot of those beliefs, and I've healed them, and others can too. And find a way to be visible that works for you, that you're okay with doing. You know, I live next to, in the Bahamas, a very, very popular singer who you would all know if I said the name. And I won't, because I respect her privacy. And I realized that, you know, she's created a little haven for herself here because she needs that. And we all can create those havens. We all can create the spot and the piece of us that we need to replenish and rejuvenate and connect with source and to create. But then again, you know, we all can be visible in whatever way that's comfortable to us. We don't have to sell out. We don't have to be uncomfortable. And we can change the beliefs that say that it's not okay in the ways that we want it to be okay. You know, I mean,
that's key. I know I've struggled with that. The whole idea of now I'm in the forefront and being visible, that was such a struggle, and I've worked on that, and now I'm comfortable with it. But that was an interesting journey. I'll say that.
It is an interesting journey. And the key is that we can create it being as safe or as destructive as we want it to be. We're creating the success and the consequences of that success at the same time. And I will never want to be, you know, on ET Tonight or whatever that show is. You know, I don't want to be having 50 seminars a year. I'm a private person. And I like my privacy, but I'm okay with being a little bit out there, because that's the way you connect with people and you learn what people need and want. And it's the way that you change the world. And so I've come to kind of peace on this teeter-totter of visibility. And I'm out there enough to have fun and get lots of good information for the next book, but not enough that I feel like I don't have my own life and I've abandoned who I really am. And I think we all have to find that place for each of us. And belief changing is pretty key in doing that.
It's beautifully said. I like it. So looking back on your journey, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently?
I love this question. And I, this morning, like preparing for this, I thought about that. You know, I would think, I would do the same thing that I would ask of myself every day of the year. I'd stop worrying about tomorrow. I'd pretend this day was the last one I was ever going to get professionally. And I would milk it for all the joy and fun possible. Because too often, you know, we're concerned about what are the sales, what are the numbers, am I out there enough, am I getting enough visibility, am I getting enough clients, am I getting enough, you know, followers, am I, and the point isn't what you sell or what you do, the point is having fun. And of course, you're living in a world where the universe wants to respond to you 100% of the time with 100% abundance. So let the money come in. Let it come in however it wants to come in. Don't care about how it comes in. But every day, show up with as much love and fun and passion and joy in your heart as you possibly can. Be that light for others. And be it for yourself. And it's really about having a blast. And so, you know, I get off this path as easy as anybody else does, but that's what I would do differently.
I get excited just talking to you, hearing you talk about it. I'm like, yes.
But we forget it, don't we?
We do. We really do.
To like start the day remembering, okay, number one, have fun. Okay, what would be fun today? And let ourselves do that at least part of the day. And then, you know, you can schedule time for what you consider drudgery and even make the drudgery fun, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, I've decided that everything should be fun. So I came across this dentist who has, you know, has a masseuse who comes in and massages your feet when you're getting your teeth cleaned. Put your hands into this, you know, paraffin wax and put on warm mittens and you have, you know, headphones that you can listen to any kind of wonderful music that you can imagine. And it's like, why not, you know?
I need the names of that dentist. That's amazing.
But it's true.
That's fantastic.
If we decide that everything can be fun, it can be.
Yep. It's all a choice, right? It's all a choice.
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself going from here? Your success has been amazing. You sound so happy. Do you have a next vision of the next phase?
You know, I want to keep helping people understand because I've created all the money I could spend. I've created, I mean, I'm looking at the Atlantic Ocean right now as I do this podcast. I'm having a great time talking with somebody who is into the new age but loves marketing and is getting that message out. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, my life is absolute bliss, but I love to write. I love to connect. You know, I write these messages. I don't know if you've seen them, messages from your unseen friends that I write the message as if it's from your soul or God or, you know, your subconscious mind, your higher self. And so for me, the joy is connecting on you know, spirit level and bringing it to the physical level and having there be no in between, you know, walking with nature as if it were God speaking to you. I want to write more. I want to teach more. I want to have more fun. I want to continue to stay in balance. I know something that excites me to no end. We create it all. And until that's known by every human being on this planet, I will want to tell people about that. Because it's like, why isn't this everywhere? Why don't more people know about this? Why isn't Good Morning America having a segment every single day about how to do this? I mean, you know, hello?
Yep. I think there's something there. call up Good Morning America. Hey.
So that's how I'll continue.
That's fantastic. And do you have any little last bit of advice to give our listeners who are ready to, like, do their life's passion but might have that little fear holding them back?
You know, it's not as hard as you fear it is. But know that what you do on the inside is even more important than what you do on the outside. So start there. Intend to be guided each and every step along the way. And if you believe that and ask for help too, you'll be there. You can create anything. It's all within your ability. And That's all I got.
That's beautiful. And as a last tidbit, so if someone wanted to find you, where are they going to go find you online?
Liveitlifeyoulove.com. There's all my connections to the Facebook pages on there, to all the other websites, to the book, to my whole life is liveitlifeyoulove.com,
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure, and I know I'm inspired to go make new changes, and this has been just truly wonderful.
Thank you, Kimberly. It's been so much fun for me too. Thanks so much for having me and letting me talk about this thing that I love. I love marketing, and I love, you know, the world beyond the physical. And you bring those two together so well for people who have so many gifts to offer others. So thank you for the work you do.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you will find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.